Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Planet Fitness has everything you need to start strong, so you can give everything you've got. From plate-loaded strength equipment and functional training areas to treadmills, stair climbers, and free weights. Our equipment is best in class, and our clubs are right around the corner, so you can make this your strongest year yet. Join the club today and save $28 or more when you join for $1 down, $15 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, January 9th. Are you coming? Planet Fitness. We're all strong on this planet. See club for details.
Hello, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to another episode of Birds of the Rodeo. My name is Eric, your resident Eagles fan.
I'm Orlando, the resident Cowboys fan.
And this is Birds at the Rodeo. Again, this is a podcast where we speak everything Eagles, everything Cowboys, everything NFL, and everything in between. Well, before we get into the news of the day, because I want to talk about Atlanta, because that's a whole sticky situation right there.
Right.
What's up, man? How's work been? How's the week been for you?
Nothing too crazy. Just can't complain about too much. Just keeping on pushing.
Keep on keeping on, right?
How you been, man?
I've been cool. I mentioned earlier to you before we started recording, I had a holiday party at work.
Right.
That was a fun and festive time. At the end of the year, I guess we always get around that time where you start to appreciate the people you work with. It was a good time. You know, holiday party. It's about to be Christmas. Speaking of Christmas, have you gotten your Christmas gift shopping done?
Not all of it. Got some of it done.
Not all of it.
I did some of it this past weekend.
How many more gifts you got to get?
I'm not even too sure, because sometimes there's some gifts I don't know if I'm actually getting. You know, there's people in my life where we just don't really exchange gifts like that, so
right,
I'm just kind of debating on whether or not to grab
get them
something.
So yeah, yeah.
Nothing too crazy. Just a few more.
I got one more to get. It's my brother's. Mm-hmm. And I think I found it. I just got to go. Because I'm not going to lie to you, because I don't think he's peeped the podcast. So I'm just going to say it on here. It's going to be a tool drawer, like an actual tool drawer that he can put all his stuff in. He's a do-it-himself man. He's a handyman for sure. Because honestly, the original gift, it was going to be a Detroit Lions huge like LED neon sign.
Right.
Because I got him one last year, but it came a lot smaller than I anticipated it being. So my sister-in-law, she kept saying he really wants the bigger sign. I was like, oh, okay, well, I'll see about it. But I'll be real with you, the huge ones, those run a pretty penny.
Expensive.
Yes,
okay.
Which I'm not saying I wouldn't spend that money on my brother, but it's like, you know what, let me get you the tool drawer. Let's focus on the Detroit sign next year. We'll see. If they win a Super Bowl, maybe I'll give it to them. Who knows?
Right. That makes sense.
Yeah, so I just got to get that out of the way. I got one in my cart right now. The tool drawer, that is, but I just got to – I probably got to go to Home Depot and just buy it, because, it's not one of those things where, that's not a gift where you can, wrap it. You know what I'm saying? You just got
to, just give it to
you
them.
Just give it to – right. You can't wrap that, so – that's probably what's going to end up happening. But yeah, no, man, Christmas is almost here. Like you said, you're doing Christmas shopping. I'm almost done with mine.
Mm-hmm.
It's the spirit of the holiday season. But enough about that jazz. Let's get right into it, man. Atlanta announced not even 3 hours ago that they are benching Kirk Cousins. Your immediate reaction?
It sucks to be wrong, because I thought Kirk was going to be the one that came in.
You and me both. Atlanta was my sleeper team.
Right. I thought Kirk was going to be the one to make them the sleeper team while people were sleeping. He's going to come in and finally be that piece that got Drake London the ball. He hasn't done a bad job of getting Drake London the ball.
No, he's just making mistakes.
Right. There's too many mistakes. Kyle Pitts, I thought he might have finally flourished being the fourth overall pick that he was expected to be. We've never really seen that. It's been a lot of potential. What ifs,
mm-hmm.
And it just hasn't flourished. Bijan, obviously he's a decent back, but with all the mistakes Kirk is making, it hurts. But I'm excited to see what Michael Penix can do.
So. Yeah, no, I'm with you 1,000%. I just I don't understand what Atlanta's rationale was to draft Michael and sign Kirk like that. I just, because now they're in a situation where, I mean, you cut him, the dead cap hit is like 40 mil.
Right. I understand the draft of Michael Penix, but it's just like the signing of Kirk for that contract.
Like, why would you, like, here's my thing. If you knew you wanted to draft a quarterback early, okay, again, you probably could have got Michael Penix Jr. in the second round because nobody was going to take him in the first. Like, at least that's what, you know, that's what the word coming out of the street was when draft season was around, because of his injury history and his age and all that. Like, he was probably going to slip to the second round. You could have got him for a second round draft pick, and you could have addressed a much needed edge player because, you know, they brought Matthew Judon in. He's not doing much of anything for them right now. I don't understand what Atlanta's thought process was here. I really don't. Because now they're in a situation where it's like, okay, you got a quarterback making 65 mil plus guaranteed.
On the bench?
On the bench. And so the question becomes now, right, like, where is Kirk Cousins? Because surely he's not going to stay in Atlanta after this year.
And it's like, who trades for him with that contract? Who takes on that situation when he regrets? It's not like he's coming off a better season.
You know,
like, he upped his trade value. I don't know what somebody. It's obvious somebody would.
Oh, Atlanta's going to have to eat a lot of that contract.
Right.
Like, a lot. I thought of some teams, though. I mean, let's just talk about the QB need teams, right? The Raiders, the Giants.
But those are teams who have high draft picks,
right, right, right. The Browns.
I don't think any of them would.
I don't think they would.
More in their future than a Kirk Cousins too.
I guess I don't know. For me, I guess the most logical place in my head right now is Cleveland.
I honestly can't even see him as a starting quarterback anywhere else. After
he getting paid like one.
Well, yeah, I don't understand. I don't really see where he goes from this.
So you don't see a team pulling a trigger and trading for him?
No, not a team that's not in position to get somebody young.
Well, you know what? I guess because we just saw Denver do it with Russ, right? They just cut him. Does Atlanta just cut Kirk like that? I guess it could happen, right?
The Giants just did it.
Yeah, but Daniel Jones, similar situation, but I think Russell Wilson, that's a better comparison just because Russell Wilson got paid all that money.
I'm not saying they're different. I'm saying that it's just another one.
No, I get what you're saying.
Don't have a problem with moving on.
Right. Could Kirk Cousins go down the road that Russell Wilson had to go down? Get all that money, get cut after two seasons. He might get cut after one season, right? Have to sign a one-year deal somewhere to prove that he can still play?
Well, I don't think he's good enough for that.
Oh, you think Kirk is done?
As a starter, I mean, I feel like it's different from Russ. Russ, at one point, was a top quarterback. Kirk Cousins, at his best, was a top 15 quarterback.
Yeah, well, you know what? I will say, last year in Minnesota, before he got hurt, he was having an MVP caliber season. Just the numbers he was putting up. Like,
that's true. I remember that.
But I will credit that to Kevin O'Connell because, you know, I mean, look what he's doing with Sam Darnold now, right? So Kevin O'Connell is obviously a good quarterback coach, a good offensive coach. God, yeah, it's crazy. Is it over for Kirk Cousins as a starter in the league, bro? Is it over? I think some team – I mean, honestly, dude, if I'm Cleveland, if you're Cleveland, I don't even know because Cleveland, I mean, they just benched Jameis Winston.
Yeah, but I feel like they're bad. They'll have a top pick.
I don't know. See, I got to see where they're going to land, though, because I don't know what draft picks they gave up.
But I feel like there's enough quarterbacks for all the teams that want to draft a quarterback.
I don't know, man. I mean, because after Shadur and Cam Ward, who are we talking about? I mean, Dylan Gabriel, I mean, I don't know if I take him in the first round. Quinn Ewers, I definitely wouldn't take him in the first round.
I think teams will, though. I think they'll take.
They probably will, because that's exactly that's what happens every year, right? Like, all the quarterbacks, all the top quarterbacks coming out, they get pushed up the ladder. That really doesn't help them or the team. So yeah, I don't know, man. I guess we're gonna find out. But it is apparent that Kirk Cousins, Kirk O'Bangs in Atlanta, that era is over.
Yeah,
quick, fast, and in a hurry. Even though there's some more NFL news, I wanted to get into it with you on this, and it's crazy because you said you hadn't heard about this. Or you didn't even see it.
I feel like maybe when you say it, I'll be like, oh, I've kind of.
So, Thursday Night Football, the Rams are playing the 49ers, and 49ers linebacker Devondre Campbell refused to come into the game. He literally said, and I quote, "I don't want to play."
Oh, I saw him. Okay, so what I saw the fine he got, or they suspended him
the rest of the season.
Yeah,
they suspended him the last three games, the rest of the season. They're not going to cut him outright because then they would still owe him money. They're suspending him so they can take the money back.
Mm-hmm.
He got a lot of scorn from his teammates, or mm-hmm. I guess former teammates at this point, right? Because he's done. Kyle Shanahan was kind of like, "It is what it is. Like, we'll figure it out. Like that, it is what it is." At that point. Apparently, John Lynch, the GM, got into a conversation with him in the locker room.
After?
Well, because Devontae Campbell, he literally walked off the field into the locker room during the fourth quarter. So I'm assuming John Lynch came down and spoke to him at that point. Mm-hmm. I don't.
Has he came out and said anything?
I haven't seen Devontae Campbell say anything.
I haven't seen any.
If y'all seen it, let us know. Put the link in. I haven't seen Devontae Campbell say nothing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so you hear that. What are your thoughts?
My immediate thoughts are remote. I've seen that happen. Like, I've been on teams where I've flat out seen people be like, oh, go in, and they be like, no, I'm not playing.
Yeah.
And was he playing throughout the rest of it? So, like, that was the first time he was – they were trying to make him go in?
So here's my thing. Here's what I think happened. Because Dre Greenlaw, you know, 49ers all-pro linebacker, he was out all season because he popped his Achilles in the Super Bowl,
mm-hmm.
right? So they signed Devontae Campbell to replace him. So he was starting most of the year. Now, Dre Greenlaw, this was his first game back. Dre Greenlaw started. Dre Greenlaw, his knee was starting to bother him, so he sat out. And then their other backup linebacker, D. Winters, he was hurt. So all they had was Fred Warner and Devontae Campbell. And Devontae Campbell, in my head, I think maybe he just decided, I don't want to play football no more. I don't know. But it could also have been like, dude, like, I've been starting for y'all all season, and then y'all bench me because Dre just came back. Maybe that's how he felt. I don't know.
Right.
But he had been playing for them. He had been a starter for them every game up to that point, except for Thursday night.
That's actually pretty much what – because I've seen that happen twice. And one of the situations was like that. Dude had been not only starting like all year, he had been like a 4-year starter, like on varsity in his senior year. Our coach tried to make him come off the bench, and he was like, no. And then he didn't play on the team.
He never played after that.
Yeah.
Did he transfer?
No, he didn't transfer. He just
stopped playing.
Yeah.
I mean,
it did happen to another kid who did end up transferring, actually. He basically didn't play all game, and it was somebody who he had started sometimes, got minutes, but this he just hadn't played at all this game.
Yeah.
End of the game, like a minute or two left, coach mm-hmm. like, I'll go in. And he's like, well, I'm not playing it. Like, no.
Did you view those guys differently? Like, did you feel like they quit on your team?
No, actually.
No? Okay.
As a teammate, thinking back in the time, I remember thinking back, like, respecting it.
Well, okay.
Maybe.
So, fast forward now, do you respect what Devontae Campbell did?
As, like, an individual, yes, but I can see how it is of being a bad teammate.
Well, why do you respect it, I guess? Because.
Maybe because. It was coming from a place where I understand it. It's like,
again, we don't know exactly where his mindset was.
But like looking at my teammates, and the first guy, like, yeah, I've been a starter for this team for 4 years. You're a new coach.
Yeah.
Like, you're kind of trying to change things. I disagree with that.
Yeah.
So I can understand that. And then the other guy, yeah, like, don't try to play me the last minute. The game's over. Like,
that's like with Steve Kerr and Jason Tatum a little bit, right? Because they was all like, well, like, they should just play him in the fourth quarter. It's like,
yeah,
if you're Tatum, why would you even want to play in the fourth quarter at that point?
Exactly.
Which I get that situation. Yeah.
But I understand why.
You understand the scoring that he's giving.
Yeah.
I mean, George Kittle, he called him out. I can't forget what other teammate. Someone else said something about it too, but it's not a good look for him. And I mean, we've seen it happen in the NFL before. God rest the dead, rest in peace, Devontae Davis. But he literally retired at halftime.
I remember that.
He literally retired at halftime. So we've seen it happen in the NFL before. But I mean, I hope Devontae Campbell. I sincerely hope he's actually done playing football, because if you're not, you just.
Yeah, you just ruined
your chances, bro.
Right.
Like, you just put that on tape for everybody to see.
Yes, you will be very hard-pressed to find a team.
Right. And another thing was, too, because they were talking about, like, because the 49ers cut him outright, right? Like, a contending team that needs linebacker help could sign him. So maybe he – because, let's be honest, San Francisco, their season is done. They're not doing nothing.
Yeah, sure.
So maybe he was
that.
Like, why am I going to play on a sinking ship? Let me just – you know what I'm saying? Maybe that's part of it too. And it's like, no, they're not going to – they're not just going to let you walk off like that, bro. That's not going to happen.
Right.
So, yeah, I don't know. I mean, I hope we hear from
Planet Fitness has everything you need to start strong, so you can give everything you've got. from plate-loaded strength equipment and functional training areas to treadmills, stair climbers, and free weights. Our equipment is best in class, and our clubs are right around the corner, so you can make this your strongest year yet. Join the club today and save $28 or more when you join for $1 down, $15 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, January 9th. Are you coming? Planet Fitness. We're all strong on this planet. See club for details.
Yeah, soon. I mean, regardless, bro, like, you did what you did. At this point, you just own it. And hey, if you're retiring, bro, God bless you. I wish you nothing but, you know, health and success in your next phase. But
right.
That's just not a good look.
No, for sure.
That's just not a good look at
for
all.
Sure.
Okay. Let's talk about Dallas and Carolina.
Mm-hmm.
I initially started to watch that game hoping Carolina would, like, you know, show me something. I cut it off for the first quarter. Bryce Young was running for his life, man, against y'all second stringers. That's crazy.
Yeah. I mean, looking, a lot of people are upset at what, again, we talk about, like I said last
week. That y'all won?
Yeah, a lot of people, like I said last week, a lot of people want the team to fully tank.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But
we talked about that. You can't, like, you can only tank so much.
Right. And this was a game, we've, at this point in the season, since Dak has been hurt, we've only won one game that I feel like someone could say was unexpected. Beating the Commanders, especially at this, what the season they were having at the time.
Right. I mean, they might make the playoffs.
Yeah, and I think they will. They definitely will. And beating them at the time, I can understand why someone could see that. But anyone who didn't think we could beat the Giants and the Panthers, even at that point, I don't understand.
That's just
why
delusional.
You're right. The team would have to want to lose. Like,
they would have
to
suck as bad as the Giants. Like,
exactly. That just wasn't going to happen. Those were two games. The moment the schedule got announced, those were wins that I tacked on as on the board. And never once this season did anything happen to make me take those wins off the board. But just those are two bad teams.
Yeah.
So I'm not surprised we beat them in the fashion we did.
Yeah.
I think it still shows the struggles we have offensively.
Yeah.
And it just shows.
Rico Dowdle looked pretty good.
I was just about to say, it shows the contrast of where we were at the beginning of the season versus now. It just, it's ridiculous that it took this long and
three games left,
It took us to be in this position to finally figure out that Rico Dowdle should have been our number one back. He's had three straight games over 100 yards.
Yeah.
Set his career high back to back games. I think he had over 150 yards in rushing this game.
Yep.
So it's kind of like, what's the point? Like that I could have been, like I said,
you could be frustrated with that, but you're not gonna be frustrated with the team.
I can understand. Like I'm not surprised we won, but the way we're winning, that I can understand people being frustrated with. Like I said, 1 week I was seeing plays I had never saw before. Doing things. We're being able to run the ball. Our defense is getting turnovers, stops.
Yeah.
Now I will say our defense is getting a lot of credit for playing. But the games, like I said, the games we won are against two really bad teams.
Yeah.
And the games we lost, the first two games we lost, the defense played well in the first half against the Eagles and the Texans.
Mm-hmm.
But the second half got completely blown out.
Yeah.
And against the Bengals, they played well pretty much throughout the entire game.
Right.
Just had a few blunders at the end. But I would just wish our defense could have been playing at least what we've seen them being capable of doing. Since, like, we've had the amount of sacks we've had in the last four or five games versus what we had in the first, like, six or seven games.
Right.
Astronomical, like, night and day. So the way we're winning is it kind of
sucks. It's like bittersweet. Bittersweet.
It might suck just because it's showing things that looking like, Mike McCarthy might be doing a good job.
Talk, man.
And it's like, no, man, it's too late.
All that talk, man.
And they're doing this against bad teams.
Yeah.
And at a point in the season where nothing matters.
Yeah.
So
you can hope that Jerry is taking this with a grain of salt.
Right.
And realizing what is actually going on out there. Let me ask him, though, because I was speaking to, you know, one of my coworkers, huge Cowboys fan, and he is a firm believer, Rico Dowdle, RB1 for the future. Has that, because I know you were like, nah, not really. Have your thoughts changed on that since?
He's earning his spot. I would just hate for it to, I don't know, not be, like I said, it's been against three really, the three teams he did it against were the Giants, the Bengals and the Panthers. Three of the worst defenses in the NFL. In the league.
Right, right.
So that's why I would also take that with, like you just said, with a grain of salt.
Yeah.
So
no, I get you. I get you. I
just think that while it'd be nice if he was, I think those are really big shoes to fill. Because
you still need to add another running back regardless.
Exactly. And like I firmly believe, like I said last week, that him being a part of your running back room works if he's not the best back.
Yeah. Yeah.
Him being your second best back, it puts you in a really good spot. You have a really good running back room. If Rico Dowdle is your second best running back.
Mm-hmm. No, I hear you. I hear you. So, because you mentioned McCarthy too, man. I mean, you know, all these talks keep coming out a little bit here and there. The Cowboys might want to bring him back.
I don't know how many times I can say I don't understand it. I'm done. He had a chance. It's not even about the injuries. I feel like that's a lot of people are going to look at that as a scapegoat when you look back on this season down the line.
Yeah.
But I think that's a huge cop out Matt saw the shortcomings that he had this season. Like I said, before all the injuries, week after week, I came on the show begging for him to open up the offense, change things up, because what we were doing just was not working.
Right, right.
So, no, there's nothing he can do at this point of the season to, in my opinion, I think that would earn him a new contract to be our coach for the future. I want an entire new coaching staff.
Fresh start. Fresh start. Absolutely. Fresh start in Dallas, Jerry. You hear that? Fresh start in Dallas.
Absolutely.
Before I dive deep into Philly, did you see, and it's kind of going to, it'll circle back around later, but like, did you see the end of the Buffalo and Lions game?
No, I did not.
I watched a good like 65% of it, but Dan Campbell, and let me just say this right now, I don't think Dan Campbell's a bad coach. Some people are saying he's a bad coach. I don't think he's a bad coach. I think he is a little bit
aggressive.
I think he's overly aggressive. I think he's reckless sometimes, and I think that'll cost his team in the end. Dan Campbell decided to go. He decided to go for an onside kick with 12 minutes left to go in the fourth quarter.
Sounds like him.
Obviously, Buffalo recovered. Not only did Buffalo recover, Mac Holland, the receiver that recovered it, he took it down like the 5-yard line, and then Josh Allen walked in.
With the new rules, you can't even. It's not no surprise.
We can talk about that too. Yeah, because I don't like that. I don't like that. Like. Maybe he would have had a prayer shot if he could have done it like that, but yeah, the NFL. I don't know why they made it like that, dude. Because
if you don't have to declare it every time, and you line up like a regular kick and with 12 minutes left, no one's expecting that.
Yeah, of course not.
You kick it like you have a way better chance of actually getting it.
Yeah, no. So Dan Campbell and the Lions. I just want to say this. I hear the argument that they have a lot of injuries and, you know, all this and that. I'm not here for it, and I'll tell you why. Because in 2017, when the Eagles won the Super Bowl, we lost a good, like, 20 players, right? Including our MVP-caliber quarterback in Carson Wentz, including, all like, three of our starting O-line, man. We lost a lot of our D-line. I mean, we had Corey Graham back there playing safety for us, bro. Like, we had a lot of key injuries. Right. So I just, because here's my thing. In the end, if you want to talk about injuries, okay, then are you coaching? Because we speak about this all the time, right? Are you coaching and developing your second and third stringers to be ready in case their number gets called? Because eventually their number is going to get called, right? So, like, what are you going to do in that situation? You know what I'm saying? So I'm just, because that's what everybody's talking about now, right? Like, oh, Detroit has all these injuries and everything. I'm like, yeah, they do. And so what? We all have, every team has injuries. Right, it's to me, like, that's the time of the year. You know, we're all fighting off stuff. I mean, we just lost Brandon Graham for the year, bro. You know who I keep forgetting about? James Bradbury has been on IR this whole time. I forgot he was even on the team.
Right.
Now, granted, he was bad last year, but he was our starting corner last year. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. So, while I feel for Detroit having all these injuries, I don't want to hear it as an excuse, because every team has injuries, and you know what? The best teams and the best coaches figure out a way to overcome that, in my opinion.
I don't really agree. I think.
Oh, okay. I'm not saying injuries don't play a part.
I can understand, especially being an Eagles fan, and that's how y'all won the Super Bowl.
I'm not saying injuries don't play a part. Let me just make sure that you understand that.
Yeah. No. I think that Super Bowl was, I don't mean this in the sense that,
I know exactly
that,
what you're about to say.
I don't mean the sense of the fluke, like y'all didn't deserve it. I mean the sense that, like, winning that way with all those injuries,
yeah,
Most
it's teams hard.
Aren't going to do that.
No, it's hard.
Actually, no team is going to do
it's
that.
It's hard.
Out of the what Super Bowl are we at? 50.
What is this? 50. Oh, my God. I feel so bad right now.
57, 58, something yeah, like yeah, that. Yeah. You can probably less than five. Have been won with that amount of injuries.
Hey, man.
Because at the end, they say stuff like all the time. At the end of the year, it's the who's ever the most healthy.
Yep.
If you
yep.
Can, when you get when you now, I'm not saying like they haven't. I don't think they've lost enough pieces to where it Who, should be in
the Lions.
Yeah,
they've lost a lot of pieces.
I don't think they've lost enough pieces to where it should be a
excuse.
Yeah.
I mean, David Montgomery.
They still have Jameer Gibbs.
Yeah, but. David Montgomery was a huge piece of that, bro. Like, they were both about to rush for 1,000 yards.
Yeah, but when you...
You still have Jameer Gibbs, but now Jameer Gibbs has to take all the hits that David Montgomery was taking. Okay.
That's what I think... That's why I... When you... It's a part of the team building. Let me see. Like they built a team
Aiden Hutchinson,
well enough to...
I'm going
to
look this up right now.
And who did they sign?
They signed Jamal Adams.
No, they signed a D lineman to replace.
Oh, no, Hutchinson. they traded for Za'Darius Smith.
Yes. How's he been doing? Since
I mean, he's I think he has a few sacks on the season. I'm looking up everybody on their IR right now because they've lost a lot of guys. Like I'm not even gonna front like they haven't lost a lot of guys. They have 22 players on injured reserve right now. 22.
How many of them were starters?
Okay, I'll hold on. I'm gonna count the list. Here we go. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. Seven of them are starters. And even after that, though, they lost a lot of key, you know, reserves and second and third stringers on defense. They lost a lot of guys, bro. I mean, Aiden Hutchinson obviously highlights that, broke his leg in the Cowboys game. Lee McNeil, their star D tackle, lost him this past week. Marcus Davenport, they brought him in for a one-year deal to play opposite of Aiden Hutchinson. They lost him early on the season. Alex Anzalone, they lost him, starting middle linebacker. Carlton Davis, they traded for him from Tampa Bay, starting corner. They lost their rookie corner, Ennis Rakestraw. I'm assuming they were going to have him play with Terrion Arnold, the other cornerback they drafted. David Montgomery, they lost half of their running back tandem. They lost the starting kicker, Michael Bagley. they lost a lot of guys, bro. They lost a lot of guys. Like I'm not saying. Let me see. I feel like it's a better way to say. I guess in the end, right? Like if you're gonna give Detroit a mulligan this year, whatever, fine, cool. But like to me, I'm just like, I don't want to hear it because like again, yeah, and maybe we were an anomaly. You know, 2017, we overcame all those injuries.
That's a better word, anomaly. Not a fluke.
Yeah. I don't want to hear it, man. And to truth be told, the way Dan Campbell is, I don't think he wants to hear it either. I mean, I heard him on a radio show earlier. You know, he was like, yeah, we got all these injuries. So what? We get next man up. We're going to come out here. We're going to play football. He said, I want football players. That's literally what he said. I want football players. We're going to come out here. We're going to play football. And he was talking about, you know, I don't care if we – he literally said, I don't care if the defense gives up 700 yards and we win by 1 point. I will be happy. That's literally what he said. So, I think Dan Campbell, I think he has the right mindset just in terms of keeping his team pushing and not, you know, getting hamstringed mentally by all these injuries, right? Like, yeah, you got guys going down, man, whatever. What you going to do now? You know what I'm saying? That's my whole take on it.
Yeah, I'm not wishing anything on anything, but
no,
I think
no,
they would be
no.
– I think they're –
They're still a tough out. I'm not even.
I think they're another significant injury. They have plenty of, like – From getting a mulligan from me, that's okay. What I'm saying. Like, yeah. I think they would need. They have enough pieces right now, enough of their key guys left to where they should still be contenders. And I mean, like they were. They didn't just get killed by the Bills. No. It was a shootout. No.
Yeah. So yeah, I mean, Detroit, they're still in the mix.
Yeah.
They're still in the mix. I still want them. I want their head on a spike. And I think I'll get it. But okay, you know, speaking of Philly, obviously, let's get into it. Did you see our game against the Steelers?
No, I was on the road on my way back.
Oh, that's right. That's right. That's
so I didn't get
right.
to watch
right.
it. I didn't get to watch.
Man, let me tell you something. Shout out to the Steelers defense. Shout out to Terrell Austin, their defensive coordinator, because they came up with a game plan that was very evident. The game plan was to stop Saquon Barkley at all costs, and they did that, essentially. I mean, he had 20 rushes for 65 yards, so they bottled Saquon up, so I will give them a hand for that. They literally forced us to throw the football. and we did it, and Jalen Hurts did it exceptionally well. 25 for 32 passing, two touchdowns, no picks, 290 yards. And, I mean, we overcame some early mistakes, man, early turnovers, early fumbles, and we had two fumbles, right, only gave up two field goals off of that. Our defense played absolutely lights out. Shout out to Vic Fangio. He has our defense literally playing like the best unit in football right now. Yeah, man, it was a game that we needed. It wasn't clean by any stretch. I mean, we started to pull way down the stretch, but that's just, to me, that was more so just because our defense, like I said, man, we shut down Russell Wilson and the Steelers offense. You know, George Pickens didn't play, so Russell Wilson didn't have a consistent deep field threat. Yeah, man. Honestly, it was a game we needed, because come playoff time, you're gonna have a team like the Vikings or the Lions who are gonna stack the box literally every down and force you to throw the football.
Right.
And they're gonna try to stop Saquon at all costs. And we got to see if we can manage that. And we did, man. And we did it against the top AFC team in the Steelers. I'm still a firm believer in the Steelers out of the AFC. You know, we didn't give up any big plays. We made it very uncomfortable for Russell Wilson. It was a grit and grind game, man. It was a grit and grind game. I love it. I like I said, I feel like we needed that game, because it's easy to get comfortable and start to coast when the season is wrapping up. You know, especially coming off the Carolina Panthers game, I feel really good, because like I said, it's not a game where, and I didn't think we were going to come out and dominate the Steelers per se. I mean, the final score was 27-13, so like we did our job, we handled them, but. Their defense, man. Steelers will always, under Mike Tomlin, they will always have a top five defense. I don't know what it is. I don't know how that man does it. TJ Watt is a dog. Alex Highsmith is a dog. Cam Hayward, he's 36, but he's still a dog. They brought Patrick Queen over from Baltimore. Minkah Fitzpatrick is still nice. Joey Porter Jr., I think he will be nice. He's a bit handsy as a corner, but I think he'll develop pretty nicely. Yeah, man, Pittsburgh, dude, to me, they're still a heck of a team out of the AFC. To be honestly, I would take them over the Chiefs right now. Like, I'm not going to lie, I'm going to say this. I think if Kansas City met Pittsburgh in the playoffs, I would take Pittsburgh. I'm not even going to lie to you.
I'd probably take Kansas City.
Yeah, I know. I had this discussion actually earlier at work with one of my coworkers, man. I am officially off the Kansas City Chiefs bandwagon in terms of them making it back to the Super Bowl. I truly believe they will get bounced in their first game in the playoffs, because they're probably going to have the bye because they're the first seed right now. I don't see them beating Buffalo.
Mm-hmm.
I don't see them beating Baltimore. I don't see them beating Pittsburgh. If Kansas City has to see any one of those teams, I think they will get bounced. I'm not going to lie to you.
It'll be tough. I think they're, like everyone's been saying, they have a certain amount of black magic, voodoo
magic.
They just don't
look right, man.
They just find ways to win. And like I said, normally that's not the mark of a good team, but a team that's won back-to-back Super Bowls looking for a three-peat, I think.
They've earned the cachet.
Like, I think that three-peat fatigue is like settling in, and the fact that they're just still scraping by with wins, I feel like it's the end of that run, but they're who they are until you knock them out, basically. So once those playoffs come, we'll see, basically.
Yeah.
All we gotta do is watch.
I don't see it, man. I truly think Kansas City season will be over really, really soon. I'm not going to lie. I want to talk about MVP, because Josh Allen, we just spoke about it. It was a shootout with Detroit and Buffalo.
Mm-hmm.
Dude, where are you at on Josh Allen now? Because I'm not going to lie. If he keeps this up, bro, it's his for the taking.
I think Lamar is still MVP. But okay. I think Josh Allen was right there. I think he's
second. You think they're neck and neck right now?
I would have Lamar above him, but I think he's second.
Mm-hmm. I mean, Lamar, he had a heck of a game against the Giants, five touchdowns, but it is the Giants, right?
So, for sure.
Josh Allen, dude, that man has 11 touchdowns in the past two games, bro.
Yeah, and the last two games, it sucks that I actually haven't watched the last two games, but I also think, like I said, I think I've said this before on the show, I think, certain games like that, I think it is impressive. It kind of ignores the entire season's body of work. And if you look the entire season, I feel like Lamar is playing better than Josh Allen has.
Numbers wise, yeah. Like Lamar, I mean, Lamar is literally having his best season of his career, statistically speaking. Like, he's shattering his numbers by far. But Josh Allen, his numbers aren't like what Lamar's is right now, but he's climbing, man. He's slowly but surely getting there. And, I mean, again, you know, we got to put into context who Lamar is playing with versus who Josh Allen is playing with.
That's true.
You know, Josh Allen's best receiver is Khalil Shakir, right? Like, who? Right? Like, I mean, I just, to me, I'm not going to lie, I'm marveling at what Josh Allen is doing on a week-by-week basis, bro. Like, this dude is going up against the Rams. He's going up against the Lions, and he's just going in there and say, you know what? F it. I'm going to do what I got to do. I'm Superman. Put the team on my back, and I'll make it happen. I know he lost to the Rams, but I mean, dude, if he would have had maybe like two more minutes, I think he squeezed that game out. I'm not gonna lie to you. I really think it's Josh Allen, bro.
I mean, he's having a great season for sure.
Do you think if Saquon breaks Eric Dickerson's all-time rushing record, you think he'll get it?
I think if we're talking in terms of who will probably get it, it's Josh Allen and Lamar. Yeah. But I think he would need to break
Eric. Because that's what everybody's saying. Like, if he breaks it, that it's his.
Like I said earlier in the episode, those Tush-Push touchdowns, I think if he got those,
yeah,
he would be the runaway.
If I see Saquon Barkley get tackled at the one more time, bro.
Yeah.
It's, like, it's insane like how that just happens. Like, yeah, again, Saquon Barkley, my running back, obviously I would love to see him win the MVP. I don't see it happening. It's crazy because I just want to see him break Eric Dickerson's record, especially as an Eagle. I just want to see him do that, which I think he will do that. I know he had a, you know, lackluster game against the Steelers, but, you know, we got Washington coming up. I think he can run all over them. I just want to see him break the record. Honestly, if he breaks it, do I think he'll get it? I think he'll make it tough. If he breaks the record, I think he'll make it tough on the voters.
It sucks for him because I feel like last year, although even though I do think Dak deserved it, I think it was a sort of a down year in terms of quarterback play or just in terms of the court. It wasn't like they're in terms like right now how Lamar Jackson and. Like you just said, Lamar Jackson having a career year in numbers. Mm-hmm. He's just looking amazing. Yeah. And Josh Allen, 11 touchdowns, 2. Like, quarterbacks just weren't playing, like, just by far an amazing like this.
Right.
So, it'd be harder not to give it to a quarterback
this year. Yeah. No, I feel you. Here's what I think will happen. I think Saquon, I think the rushing record will be the equalizer, and I think the record will be the equalizer, right? Because I think if we finish – we're 10-2 right now. So if we finish 14-2 and the Ravens finish, you know, 11-6, 12-5, you know, that record comes into play, man. I think that'll give him the edge. I think if it plays out like that, I think it'll probably be between Josh Allen and Saquon, and I think they'll probably give it to Josh Allen at that point just because he's had moments. I mean, Saquon's had moments too, but it's...
They were earlier in the season.
You know what it is too? Like, and I feel like you'll agree with me on this. Like, when quarterbacks have moments, like, it feels bigger.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Like, Josh Allen in the snow... Like, that's a moment, right? Mm-hmm. Josh Allen last week against, you know, Detroit, that's a moment, bro.
And with Saquon, it's like, even you might not have moments, but like he's had, like I said, he had some moments early in the season.
Yeah,
but he was just consistently good.
Great.
Yeah, oh. Exactly. 100-yard games, right, but it wasn't just like big chunk. He was just, I mean, there were some.
I mean, he rushed for like 200-plus yards against the Rams. I can't remember the exact number. But, I mean, he had a heck of a game against the Rams. I mean, he hurdled a guy backwards. Like, Saquon's had moments.
That's true.
Just, you know what I'm saying? It's just like, I don't know what it is. But, like, you see what I'm saying? Like we're talking about Josh Allen. It feels bigger than Saquon's. You know what I'm saying?
Well, I feel like Josh Allen is just more recent. Like, I don't want to just use recent.
That is true.
Like, once you brought it back, Saquon jumping over that, like,
he hurdled a guy backwards.
He definitely has moments. That's crazy.
Yeah. He hurdled a guy backwards.
He'll have a decent, like, what we said, if he breaks that record, he gets some more touchdowns, he stops getting tackled at the one as often, mm-hmm. he'll definitely have a solid argument.
I think it'll probably end up being between Saquon and Josh Allen. I think because Lamar's record, man, that his, you know, the win-loss record, I think that's going to, you know, hurt him down the stretch. I think it'll end up being between Josh Allen and Saquon. I think Josh Allen will take it home. Again, I would love Saquon Barkley to take on the MVP. For me, honestly, I just really want to see him break Eric Dickerson's record. Stay healthy, head into the playoffs, obviously. That's another thing, too, man. I'll be honest. Like, Because, you know, all this talk about the, you know, because only one team gets a bye week now in the playoffs and everything. Right. Me personally, I'll be honest with you. Well, I would love Philly to have the bye. Honestly, like, I don't want us to, like, overexert ourselves down the stretch. Yeah, like, dude, like, if it's the last week and if it's still up for grabs, like, nah, bro, just rest everybody. Have Kenny Pickett trot out there against the, I think it's the Giants we finished the season off with. Have Kenny Pickett trot on out there. Let him do whatever. I don't care.
He can win that game.
Yeah. Maybe. I wouldn't be impressed about it at that point. I'd just be watching to see, like, what our second string O-line looking like. Honestly, I'd be interested to see if, like, Dylan McManning gets in the game. That's a developmental center we drafted. Jalix Hunt, I'd be interested to see how he lives. I'd just be interested to see, like, what the young guys are looking like, honestly. But, yeah, no, I don't want us to overexert ourselves trying to get the bye, man. Like, if it happens, it happens, cool. If not, it don't matter. We ready to rock and roll in the playoffs, man. We're on a 10-game winning streak, right? So, as long as we take things one week at a time, I'm good, man. I really don't want us to overexert ourselves trying to get that bye week, bro. I really don't.
Understandable. I think it helps, though. I think just depends on the team. Some teams,
I mean, some teams need it. Yeah, like, some teams need the Detroit. Rest. Detroit absolutely needs
some
it.
Some teams need the rest. Some teams would prefer the momentum.
There's talk of
playing multiple, like, getting that extra game in. So
there's talk of Aiden Hutchinson possibly coming back. I'm like, dude,
that'd be crazy.
That'd be insane. That'd literally be T.O. level.
Right.
Like, T.O. playing with three screws in his leg in the Super Bowl, dude. That. If Aiden Hutchinson comes back, I don't know, dog. I don't know. I might be like, I don't know. Like,
he's robotic.
But I feel like you might be running the risk too, man. Like, sometimes it's okay.
Yeah, that's true.
I don't know. I feel like dudes sometimes, like, I feel like they feel like this is the last time they're going to play football.
Well,
which, I mean, sometimes it could be, right? You don't know.
Not only your last chance, but a Super Bowl. Like, coming back to playing a Super Bowl,
it's hard.
Because it might be your only chance to play a Super Bowl.
Dan Marino only played in one.
T.O.? That was the only one T.O. played in?
Mm-hmm. You're right. You're absolutely right. I know you wanted to talk about the NBA Cup.
Mm-hmm.
The Bucks just won it tonight against the Thunder.
Right.
Are you like, it really tapped in on the NBA Cup? I'll be real with you. I'm not that tapped in on it.
So, kind of this year, last year, obviously, the Lakers won it, so I was really tapped in. But once the Lakers got eliminated this year. Right. Once the Lakers got eliminated this year, I was actually rooting for the Hawks. Because I really like Trae Young as a player.
Do you?
Yeah, I really do. And his beef with the entire city and state of New York
is amazing. Yeah, I love that.
Watching him eliminate them was nice. But the Bucks, Giannis is just kind of too dominant of a player right now, especially for the Hawks and the Thunder. I was watching the game, and not only was Giannis just dominant. Shai Gilgeous-Alexander didn't have that great of a game.
Really?
I didn't see it. The Thunder as a whole shot terribly from three. I don't know what
that's surprising.
With the final, at one point they were 2 for 20
from three.
Did
Dame have a good game?
Dame had a pretty good game, and that was pretty much the deciding factor. Because it was still close. At halftime, the Thunder were only down by one. The Bucks didn't pull away until, like, halfway through the third quarter. But
it's interesting because the Thunder, literally, bro, the Thunder are, like, the best perimeter defensive team in the league.
And they were playing. That was why they were able to stay in the game, although they were shooting 2 for 20.
But, I mean, Giannis, right. And Giannis, he's not a perimeter player. He's just been taking in the paint. And Chet Holmgren's been out.
They had no Chet.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
It was, at the end of the stars for the Milwaukee, like,
I think Giannis, Chris Middleton, Dame, he's out too, right?
Yeah, he's out. But Giannis and Dame, they showed up. Brooklyn. Everybody on the Bucks played exactly like you thought they would. And then the Thunder.
They just had a bad night shooting.
They just had a terrible night shooting. And then Shai specifically, man. Their best player. I think had a pretty bad night. So
I don't even. Do you take much stock into the NBA Cup as a whole, though?
I do in terms of how good a team is. Like, I think. I don't think there would be a team. I don't think a team would go far and do well in the NBA Cup if they weren't like a playoff team.
Yeah, maybe.
Depending on what happens throughout the season.
I mean, because you could just get hot, right? Like, you could literally just get hot.
Maybe, but like not for multiple games like that. I genuinely don't see a bad team winning the NBA Cup.
I don't know. To me, what needs to happen is the NBA needs to shorten the season. I just, yeah, I don't know. I don't care that much about the NBA Cup. You know what I'm saying?
I like it. I think it's entertaining, and especially when the more invested the players are in it, the more exciting it is, the more competitive it looks. So,
yeah.
I mean, at first I didn't really see the point, but
mm-hmm.
I don't see the, like, there isn't not a point, if that makes sense. Mm-hmm. I don't see the problem.
I don't know. I'm like, with it still. I don't know. I don't know. Like I said, to me, I feel like the NBA needs to shorten the season, cut out all this load management crap.
Yeah, I hate that.
Because that doesn't work. It's not a thing. I don't know.
I don't think they'll ever shorten the season. I think, they'd extend
TV
it.
Deals, bro. Yeah. No. That's not going to happen. But I wanted to ask you your opinion on something before we get on out of here. Did you see that Travis Hunter won the Heisman?
Yeah, absolutely.
And I know you don't watch college football, but, like, did you have any thoughts on that, or?
Whether it was him or Ash and Genty. I think both of them were deserving. I feel like they both had amazing seasons in their own respective rights. So I didn't disagree with it at all.
Yeah.
Did you?
No, I didn't disagree with it. I did want Ash and Genty to win it, though. To me, I think it says more that he's leading a Boise State team to the college football playoffs.
Mm-hmm.
And, I mean, he's literally on pace to break Barry Sanders' rushing record.
Right.
Travis Hunter, you know, he's an amazing two-way player.
So do you think him going to Boise State has any factor in how well he's doing? Because I feel like that's just been the biggest conversation.
How well he's going to translate to the league?
How well he's going to translate to the league, but just how well he's going to translate to – like in the college football playoffs when he's playing top schools.
I forgot who they're playing. I got to see who they're playing. But, yeah, I do. I mean, listen, man, he rushed.
Because, like, basically when I saw the arguments for Travis instead of Ashton for the Heisman, it was basically because, like, oh, Boise State, they don't play anybody.
Oh, Colorado didn't, like, play, like, they didn't play a lot of great teams this year either, if I'm being honest.
That's true.
And, I mean, shoot, Boise State, Ashton Jensen, he had a 200-plus yard rushing game against the number one team in the country in Oregon. So, I mean, if people want to start, because, you know, that's what happens, they start nitpicking.
That's all that was, yeah.
So, yeah, I mean, like I said, did I want Ashton Jensen to win it? Yeah. Am I mad or sad or, like, disappointed that Travis Hunter won it? No. I mean, he had a heck of a season as a receiver and as a corner. And now he just needs to, I guess, focus on playing corner. That's what all the talk is and for the NFL, that they want him to focus on corner, which it makes sense. I mean, he's 6'3", a buck 90. Like,
right.
You don't find corners that tall that often. So it makes sense. Plus, as a receiver, I mean, I don't know. He might be a two or three at best in the league, honestly. Me personally, I don't view him as a number one receiver in the NFL. But I don't know. That remains to be seen. It was funny, though, too, because Ashton Jensen, I don't know. Did you see what he said about the Heisman?
No, I didn't.
He was kind of smug about it. He was like, no, I should have won it. Like, it's like, okay, all right. Like,
I mean, I get why he feels that way, but it's –
to vocalize it, I guess. I'm sure. I mean,
it's because there's no point in saying.
Come on, man! Like, just give it up to Trav. Like, go out there and ball. Like, you're in the playoffs. He's not. Go out there and ball, bro. That's all you got to do. You know what I'm saying? But again, me personally, I like the bravado. I like players that show bravado, that like talk that talk,
mm-hmm.
as long as they walk the walk, right?
For
like,
sure.
I was talking with one of my coworkers today about Caleb Williams. You know, when he was coming out, you know, like when he was back at USC and he was playing Utah, and he had the F Utah on his nails and everything.
Yeah.
And I said, I like that.
Oh yeah.
As long as you back it up.
I don't have a problem with it at all.
Or, you know, if you get beat, if you get humbled, you own it, right?
Yeah.
That's all I want. That's all I want. So I'm here for the bravado. I'm here for the smack talk. I'm here for the trash talk. Just back it up. What I say about CJ Gardner, I'm here for all that jazz, bro. But start smacking dudes like he's smacking Xavier Leggett. Did you see that?
Yeah.
Dude, Xavier Leggett literally said, like, oh, he stuck me. Like, the way he talks, like, it's so
funny. No, yeah, he's so, like, country.
He's country, bro.
Yeah.
We might have to put that clip on that video, bro. He literally said, like, the way that Eagles said he stuck me. Like, the way he said it, bro, it's hilarious. No, like,
he has a hilarious voice.
He's hilarious.
Voice.
Shout out to Xavier Leggett, man. I hope you figure out your jaws problem.
One more thing before we get off the topic of college awards. Just want to give a shout out to Jahdae Barron.
Oh, yeah. Family friend of theirs.
I called it weeks ago. He was actually nominated for defensive player of the year, him and Mason Graham. Mm-hmm. I forgot who they lost to.
But Travis Hunter won it.
There was a different award that they were nominated for. I can't remember what it was, but it was.
I know Travis Hunter brought home the best defensive player of the year award. I forgot what the name of the award is, but I know Travis Hunter won it.
Okay, there was another, because it wasn't neither one Mason Graham nor Jade won, but I can't remember who did one. But there he did win the Jim Thorpe Award. That was what I wanted to shout him out for.
Yep.
And that was something. That was actually something that obviously it's a goal of most top corners, but. When he came, he decided to come back for his senior year and wore the number 7, which is now the kind of a tradition that he's kind of carried along as the best DB at the University of Texas. So right. That was kind of a long time coming for him. He, like you said, family friend from Austin, Texas.
Yep.
Grew up a UT fan, so it was really cool to see that. Really cool. Really proud of him.
Shout out to Jade Barron.
To see the player he's become. Jerry, make it happen. Bring him. keep him at home.
Future Cowboy, baby.
We don't need a corner, but we love a corner.
I mean, well, yeah.
We don't need a corner because we need so many other pieces, but we could use a corner. But... You know, that's wishful thinking.
We'll see. We'll talk about that in April.
It'd be better for him if he's off the board by the time we get a chance to draft a corner.
Yeah, yeah. So it'll be interesting to see how the corners go in this year's draft.
Definitely.
But, yeah, like you said, shout out to Jade Barron, Jim Thorpe Award winner, All-American at UT, family friend, possibly future Cowboy. I don't know. I'm sure you and Omar, y'all would probably go crazy if that happened.
Absolutely.
Like, insane.
Absolutely.
Like, y'all probably be screaming so much your neighbors could hear you across the street. Yeah, that'd be interesting. I don't know. Jerry make it happen, speaking into existence.
He'll be drafted, and I think he'll be a top pick. I think he'll, like I said, he'll be off the board way before we use a pick on a corner. I think we wouldn't be even drafting a corner until, like, we don't have a fourth-round pick. So, trade that for Jonathan Mingo, who even against his own former team who's the worst team in the NFL, couldn't do anything.
A second worst team. I still give that to the Giants.
Yeah, I could agree.
The Carolinas, they're doing something. They're finishing strong.
I could agree
stronger
with that.
Stronger than they were.
Did absolutely nothing. So, don't have a fourth round pick. So, probably wouldn't even draft a corner till fifth. So, he'll be off the board by then.
Right.
Shout out to him.
Shout out to Jade Barron, man. Congrats on the Jim Thorpe Award. I'm not gonna lie, unpopular opinion. I got Clemson beating UT this weekend. I do. I'm not gonna lie.
I'm going for UT. I usually don't. Like I said, I don't watch college football.
Right, but you I miss the playoffs and everything.
But I was saying, I usually don't. I don't root against UT, but I'm not.
You know, UT fan.
UT fan. Growing up in Austin. They made the traffic. Everybody was a UT fan. It was kind of it got a little annoying.
Right.
The traffic was insane because of them. So I never really rooted for them. But now that we got a family friend on the team, definitely rooting for them. Hopefully, this could be the year they go back. They haven't won since 2006. I remember that vividly.
Yeah.
It'll be a good. It's some good matchups.
It's gonna be a good game. But I got the other Austin kid, Cade Klubnik. Clemson's quarterback. I got him coming back.
You go to Lake Travis?
He went to Westlake.
Westlake. Okay.
I got
one of them.
I got Cade coming back and spoiling his hometown team's hopes and dreams. I'm not going to lie. I got Clemson winning it.
I wonder what the story is there, if he grew up a UT fan at all.
I'm not sure. I know they offered him.
And actually, Westlake, because that's where Sam Ellinger
Westlake
went.
Is that Westlake produced some guys. Drew Brees, Nick Foles, Klubnik.
The Westlake to UT pipeline as a quarterback is like it's almost like a given.
They offered Cade. He went to Clemson,
He must not have been a UT fan growing up. No, I'm serious, because it's almost like a Westlake
because he came out in 2022. Junior. So I forgot who UT had coming in at 2022, but I mean, who knows? Maybe I don't know. Maybe he just thought he'd make his own claim somewhere else. Now he's doing it. So
I had a cousin who was Sam Ellinger's number one wide receiver when he was at Westlake, and it was like I said, it was almost the. Westlake is like an internship for UT as a quarterback.
Yeah. I mean, we know what the deal is with that.
Right.
You know what the deal is with that. But, yeah, we'll see Saturday. I got Clemson upsetting UT.
We'll see. We'll see. Obviously, Michigan, they're done. We got to play Alabama in the ReliQuest Bowl. I'll say it again. The ReliQuest Bowl. I don't even know what that means.
Yeah, I've never heard.
Don't even know what that means.
Heard of that game.
So, yeah, it's bowl season in college football, playoff season. Love that. Games start to matter. You win or go home. About to get to that real, real soon in the NFL. I cannot wait.
Yep.
But until then, we will be here giving y'all our honest takes and opinions.
Week to week.
Week to week.
This is episode 15. I don't know if we
This is episode 15. Going 15 weeks strong, man. Can't wait to see what episode 16 brings us. 17, 18, 19, 20, all that jazz down the road.
Yep.
We appreciate all you tuning in, listening. Hey, follow us on TikTok, man. We're active on TikTok now.
We got some posts up there. Go check out our video.
Yep.
Like it. Post some comments on it. Reshare it. Do anything.
Tell us your thoughts.
Yeah.
Who you think should win MVP, who you thought should have won Heisman.
Comment on this video, like it, share it, subscribe to our channel. Do y'all think Patrick Mahomes really has that voodoo magic and is going to win no matter what? Y'all let us know.
I don't see it happening, man. I'm not going to lie to you. But, hey, ladies and gentlemen, thanks for tuning in to episode 15 of Birds at the Rodeo Podcast. I'm Eric, your resident Eagles fan.
I'm Orlando, the resident Cowboys fan.
And this is Birds at the Rodeo. Until next time, peace.
Later.